Blog Talk Radio.
Maintain that thanks are the highest form of thought, and that gratitude is happiness doubled by wonder. Gilbert K. Chesterton. Hello and welcome to today's segment of the A New Day Show, and I can't even believe it is already December. I must apologize live to my director, Rich Merritt. I tell you, December just came in, and for the past 3 years, 2 years already I had gone, and this was supposed to be the third year that I attended their annual pot roast dinner at the First Congregational Church in Bethel. And for the life of me, I thought we were still in November. And not until today when my friend called me up did I remember that the dinner was supposed to be last night. And I tell you, Rich, I don't know how I'm going to make it up to you, my friend. I know he's always listening to the show. I hope he's not too disappointed with me not attending that he's not listening today. So for that, I apologize. And you know, every day we wake up, there are lessons learned. So I have to find some way to put my reminders out about things so I won't miss another event. So for that, I want to thank you, Rich, for forgiving me. And before we get into today's task, my guest is going to be my new producer of the A New Day Show, Walter Misch. And Walter has an amazing story that he's going to share with you. And I know that by Walter sharing his story, that it will encourage you to get off your lovely assets and to do something. So in a minute, I'm going to bring Walter on. As usual, the chat room is up and running. And the phone lines are open, waiting for your call. The number is 646-915-8166. And I want to share from celebrating 365 days of gratitude, I want to share the entries for December 1st and December 2nd. The Lopez clan, and this comes from someone in Guadalupe. I am more than grateful to God to have given me three remarkable and beautiful little angels. my two sons and my little princess. Alberto Perez Jr., my first joy, was born 12 years ago. Of all my three children, you are the one who carries more of my personality and moods. You are so sweet and kind, but you can be stubborn at the same time. You always listen to me, especially when I give you advice. I love you, Alberto. My second precious Stephen, Alan Lopez, was born 11 years ago. You are the troublemaker and the one who never keeps quiet. I always tell you that you are really similar to your father, but I want you to know that I do it just to play with your emotions. You are so special, and I love you for being who you are, Stevie. My third and last jewel, Aubrey Lani Lopez, was born 4 years ago. Baby, you make me feel special at all times. You make me laugh with all my unique questions. My love, you are my princess, Aubrey, and I adore you for picking me as your mother. I couldn't be luckier. I want to welcome guest 6038 to the show. And the entry for December the 2nd comes from an anonymous author, minus with pictures. The other night, I was driving home from a very long day in my office. Between the back-to-back conference calls and the impromptu client meetings, I had neglected to eat lunch. And I was so busy, I didn't even notice the early signs of being too hungry to eat. By then, it was well past dinner time, and I knew I would not be cooking that night. On the commute home, my mind attempted to figure out what I would get for dinner. I soon realized that my brain was not going to cooperate. I could not figure out if I wanted hot food or cold, crunchy or soft, wet or dry, sweet or salty. No helpful clues were forthcoming. I ended up with an establishment where I could review the menu without ever leaving the comfort of my car. Tears fill my eyes as I gaze at the photographs of their various selections. Relieved washed over me, and I was able to instantly select an entree. Fortunately, my eyes could not see what my mind simply could not conjure up. The genius behind food photographs. Thank you. Yes, I want to welcome guest 6135 to the show. I want to bring my honored guest and producer onto the show, Mr. Walter Mitch. Hello, Walter. How are you?
Hello, Daphne. How are you today?
I am wonderful. I just want to share a little of your story here for the listening audience. And Walter's story begins by saying, I was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes in 1997. I had just gotten married in 1996 and working in management, didn't really understand about diabetes, so I was not paying that much attention to my health. But I was exercising more. Watch my diet. I changed jobs, which was at a hardware retail store, which was a strenuous job, and I lost a lot of weight. I hear you have me in the background. If you can get the chance to lower the volume, Walter.
Hold on. Yep.
Okay, so I'll put you. I'm going to mute you until you lower that, and then I'll continue to just share with my listeners. Yes. Yeah, so Walter continued to say that he was doing a strenuous job, and he started losing some weight. His numbers dropped, his blood glucose reading, so it felt he was healed, and I stopped taking my medication and seen a doctor. I went a couple of years when one day at work, I thought I was having a heart attack. They took me in the ambulance, and they asked questions about my health. I proudly announced that I was an ex-diabetic. This answer was, no, you don't want a diabetic, always a diabetic. Wow, what a slap in the face, only to be told at the emergency room, I was diagnosed with cardiomyopathy. The disease of the heart, when the walls of my heart muscles are weakened from diabetes. So on the mend, I started taking meds regularly, and I thought it was getting better, but still not paying attention to my health. Then, on August 10th, 2006, I drove myself to work. And it was hot and we worked hard. We even took a late lunch. But when I was on my way to lunch, I felt like headed through. It was low sugar, so I ignored it. But when I sat for lunch, my left arm felt falling down. The room started spinning. I turned around in my chair and held on to my boss and asked if I was okay. Answer was no. Yes, I was having a stroke. I had blockage in my carotid arteries. And I am going to just bring Walter on live at this moment. And Walter, thank you so much, not only for being my producer, but for your willingness to just come out and share your story with my listeners today.
Oh, yes, Daphne, I'm really excited about being here, and I'm happy to be on your show,
mm-hmm.
and I'm happy for the opportunity you're giving me to learn how to produce and be behind the scenes.
Yes. I want to, although I read your story, I want to go back from the beginning before you realize you had diabetes. Let's talk about what that life was for you.
The life before I learned I was diabetic, I was carefree. I thought everything was under control. I was eating right. Mm-hmm. But after I got married, my life became more serene.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't, going out and with the guys after work, and
mm-hmm.
playing around, running around, and I was closer to home, so
mm-hmm.
I wasn't being as active as I really should have been, continuing,
mm-hmm.
Because I thought mm-hmm. I was at the good shape of health and everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then I gained a couple pounds at that time, and I wasn't paying attention to that, and
mm-hmm.
which I'd get back to that I learned since then.
Right.
But, it's, and then all of a sudden, I got real sick with bronchial pneumonia.
Mm-hmm.
And it took about a month and a half before I was able to go back to work.
Mm-hmm.
And so during that time, I decided to set up with the doctor a complete physical after I got better. And so I did. I set up, you know, and did the physical, waiting for the results. And I got home from work a couple of days later, and the doctor called and told my wife I had diabetes, and he had sent a prescription to go down and get the glucose meter and, and a whole bunch of other things. And of course, it's something new for me, and I never read instructions, and I just, you know, hard-headed and try to do things on my own. And I mean, I was poking my finger, you know, and trying to get blood drawn, and and it was never working. And then if I finally put it down, then the one I thought was supposed to be blood come through, it starts flowing out too much. So I got away from that after a while, you know, not really looking forward to poking my finger. It was sore at the time, and I was just hoping where it was. But, you know, when I found out that I was diagnosed with diabetes, I did the complete wrong thing that, you know, people that don't know about diabetes do, and they think that I cut out all sugar in my life. I mean, I wouldn't eat nothing with sugar in it, no candy, no nothing, and no sugar on my cereal anymore. And I went that way like almost 2 months, and all of a sudden I got to such a big sugar craving. You wouldn't believe it, you know. And Pastor Frank talked about eating 40 cookies at a standing. I did worse than that. I bought all kind of candy and stuff, and I brought it home, and I just gobbled it down, you know, and, which made me concerned, because with diabetes, too much sugar does it spikes and then it goes down all of a sudden, so it's not good to do.
Walter?
Yes.
I have a caller, so would you just hold your thought there? Don't lose your thought. Let me just go to this caller.
Okay.
Caller, good evening. Your first three digits are 251. Tell us who you are and where you're calling from, please. Hello, caller.
Hello.
Yes, would you please tell us your name and where you're calling from?
Certainly. This is Sylvia Browder, and I'm calling from Mobile, Alabama.
Hello.
Wanted to listen in.
Hello.
Hey.
How long, long time? Yes.
I know. I know. I saw your show pop up on Twitter, so I said, let me call in and listen in. It's very interesting.
Yeah, and you just came back from ice cream date with your beau, and here we are talking about them sweet stuff.
Oh, did you see that? That's too funny.
Yeah, I saw you bragging. So
my husband.
Yes. I'm going to mute you, but if you want to contribute something to the conversation, please just press the number one and we'll bring you back on live. Thank you so much, Miss Sylvia.
No problem. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yes, it's Miss Sylvia. She's another powerful woman out there in Alabama doing some wonderful work for women all over the world. So it's an honor to have her taking the time. The glory, we may say, of, I hope I don't get into trouble like, what's his name? Because I say the glory of, and not referring to heaven, of social media. I just read where she says she just got back from an ice cream date with her beau, referring to her husband. And then immediately after I saw that, I tweeted the show, and here she is. She saw it on Twitter. And she's here to listen. So it's good to know that when you tweet things, people are hearing. So if you're out there, just tweet all your friends and let them come and hear Walter's story. Not to frighten them, but to encourage them. Yes, so you talk about putting away the cookies and all this sweet stuff. And I tell you, Walter, you are not alone. I mean, there half of the world does that. And the one thing we can say is that everything in moderation. And so long as we educate ourselves, we can know what we ought to do the proper way. So, continue with your thought that I close you out on.
Yeah, okay. So, my doctor, primary doctor, sent me to see a diabetes specialist then. He gave me the what for, because I didn't understand about diabetes, but he sent me to a his nutritionist that was supposed to explain to me about how to eat properly as a diabetic. And I started learning a little bit, you know, about it wasn't the sugar as much as I had to control how many carbohydrates I took into my system, which, you know.
Portion control.
Yeah, everything is carbohydrates, fruit.
Yes.
And everything. So I had to learn that, not just how much sugar I'm having, but how much carbohydrates. And I had to start all day long, but I really wasn't paying attention to that too much, so I let it go. And then things started happening. My marriage broke up. I wasn't happy, really happy. I got really depressed. And I just, you know, had an attitude of why go on. You know, I didn't, you know, and
you
I just let everything go. I didn't take any.
You got a rude awakening.
Yes, I did. And even that is, that's when I said, well, you know, I got to really work hard. So I changed my job, which didn't make my wife happy, you know, because I went from management to just a regular worker at at the Home Depot. That's the store I went to. And I ended up going to work nights because I wanted to get insurance, you know, working full-time for the family and their own. And then I was, like, really working hard, you know, on purpose.
Yeah.
So like a workout, like pulling a whole skid of paint, for instance, you know, which they usually use a machine.
Yeah.
But I dragged it down the thing, you know, on my own, you know, just a regular workhorse, which was good, you know. But so those are two things I started to learn: to control my diet and start really exercising more. That's the important thing that I had to do.
Taking care of you. Because until you understand the importance of taking care of yourself, and I don't want the listeners to misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying to be selfish, but you have to understand about self-care and self-importance and self-indulgence. Because until you can do all of those things for yourself, you're not ready to be a wife, a husband, a mother, a father, none of the roles that we are expected to play in this life. Until we understand the true importance of taking care of ourselves. Because here I heard you mention that after your marriage broke up, you thought about what's the sense in going on. But even when our marriages break up or our relationships end, we have to understand the importance of seasons and look in to see why things didn't last. Were they intended just for a season? And make sure we take the lessons from that experience and cautiously move along. Because it doesn't make sense when we give up and so we don't think we can go on without learning the lesson, because you're going to find out that that baggage is going to be with you for a long time unless we learn the lessons. And what God is so gracious, because once we learn the lessons, He allows us to evolve and to move on. Right?
Right.
So... Yeah. After you you started going to the dietitian, learning about portion control, and all of a sudden you got the rude awakening. And when did you get your aha moment to say, hey, Walter, you are important here. Whether you have a wife or you're in a relationship or not, Walter is important. When did you get that message?
As I laid in the hospital bed, and they came in and they told me that I was diagnosed with cardiomyopathy, which is a disease caused by diabetes. You know, the walls of the heart start, they get weak, the muscles, you know, get worn down, and you can't pump the heart properly. You know, they got to really use everything. And I get a feeling of I miss a beat every once in a while. And if I don't sit down and, you know, I can't, you know, if I sit down and calm down, it goes through. But if I get all excited, and then, you know, it comes on again like a heart attack. So I had to learn to control that. But as I laid in bed that morning, I was watching the sports news, and that's when the Cardinal pitcher, was it Kyle, no, Dale Cole or something, Kyle, and he had died the night before, the same time that I was in the hospital, with the disease of cardiomyopathy. So it just wasn't something that came on. It was a deadly disease. And then I started to think, wow, I'm doing something wrong here, because I wasn't even thinking about Walter and his body. You know, I had given up. There's nothing, you know, wrong. And even though, they, you know, my background as a Christian at the time, I was a Christian for 40 years at the time when I first got it sick. So, no, 30 years, I'm sorry, 35 years. So the next 5 years was, I tried to, you know, get on track, but it was a little too late. You know, the cardiomyopathy, not controlling the diabetes. Then they decided to put me on insulin because the blood sugars weren't going down enough, you know. And so I went on each day like that, and I had trouble with it. And where I went to work after Home Depot, my insurance didn't cover the medication, so it was hard for me to get it. But that all got straightened out, you know.
Yes, yes.
With a phone call, but I was just like, I'm saying, wow, every time I turn around, something's happening, you know. And
yes.
A little pity party I'd have, you know, woe is me, you know, why is this going on? And I felt like I could be a poster boy for the, why does God let bad things happen to good people? And
my God.
And I learned, you know, that it wasn't God, you know. You know, it was just me not listening to God and not really taking care of the number one thing that's important to God is my body.
Yes.
Which is now the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Hold on, Walter. So, take a sip of water, Walter. I want to welcome guest 9273 to the show. Guest 8829 and welcome thank guest 6038 for remaining and listening to the show. And listen, I want to encourage you guys to be part of the conversation by typing something in the chat room, or you can call. The number to call is 1-646-915-8166. That's the number you can call to be part of the conversation. And I'm going to go back to Miss Sylvia to ask if she has any question for Walter before I let you continue. Miss Sylvia, do you have any questions?
I don't. I'm just listening. It is very interesting because I've had some family members that suffered from diabetes. So I'm just listening with open ears.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. So I want to let the guests know, and I know people are listening on their computers, I want to encourage you to call in 646-915-8166 if you have any experiences about members of your family or yourselves who is suffering with diabetes, and also the people in the chat room, please be part of the conversation. The number is 646-915-8166. My honored guest today is my new producer of the show, Walter Nish. Okay, Walter, so continue, please.
Okay, Ms. Daphne. I think, you know, I started taking a little bit more seriously in my life, and I went through the old saying, if you don't like something in your life, change it. And if you can't change it, change the way you think about it. And that's what I needed to do.
Yes.
Was my whole thought about diabetes. So I tried to learn a little bit more as I went.
Yes, yes.
But, and then Home Depot terminated me. And then luckily a week later, my church that I was attending in New Milford.
Yeah, hired you.
Church, they hired me as a custodian. They just happened to need one.
Yes.
But, you know, I was all excited as, you know, I got the phone call come up and see one of the pastors. He might have a job for you. And I go,
beautiful.
You know, I'm all happy driving up there. Say, wow, you know, he knows what I used to make at Home Depot and how experienced I am and all different types of trades. And I'll probably get a job making twice as much as I made. But halfway up there driving, I just got this small voice in the back of my head saying, will you be that excited if you only made half the amount that you were making now at Home Depot? And I just said, uh-oh, Lord, you know, and I knew it was the Lord talking to me that I was going to a job that was going to be paying me just half of what I was making.
Yes,
and that's exactly
yes.
what it was. I went in and I talked to Pastor Valentine. He told me to go home and take a couple of days and think about it. And I told him, I said, no, I don't need to go home and think about it. And I said, God already told me that this is the job I'm going to take. So I took the job, and I was working hard. I loved it. My primary part of the job was cleaning bathrooms every night, only to turn around to clean them again the next day. So I used to say, I guess I'm going to keep doing this until I get it right.
Right.
No, but I'm a conscientious worker, you know, and I knew that bathrooms are important, that, you know, with germs and everything. And and I used to love when I get done cleaning that bathroom that it smelt nice and, you know,
Fresh. Took
the light off and all the chrome was shining and everything. And,
I
started getting really happy that I've never felt like in all the years of my life, because I felt I had the opportunity to keep in God's house clean.
Clean, yes.
And that was the attitude that I had to start taking, because you just the joy and just being at work, like, it was like I was going to play, you know. I was having so much really serene time. And so in my daily devotions, I just started, you know, thanking the Lord. I thank Pastor Frank for letting me have the job, you know. And, you know, and like most of my friends found out, you know, how can you find so much joy in sticking your head in ceramic and clean it up after somebody? And I just said, well, I put the gloves on, I had the mask on, and I just went down, you know, into it.
Just do what God called you to do. Because it is in with the pride you do that God is going to elevate you to broader platforms. Walter, has led me to ask you, what role does spirituality plays into your life now?
A very important role of my life, you know. Because God comes first in everything in my life. You know, I don't make a move without... I've learned to wait on the Lord. And it was something that wasn't normal in my life, you know. It's like from the teaching of Pastor Frank, you know, Santora, that, and then, you know, just his leadership and the church scene that I've learned, that I felt I've grown more in the Lord in the last 9 years than I did in the first 31 years as a Christian. And it was a whole new different way of viewing the Lord in my life, you know. And he took the rightful spot of being number one in my life. And so that's what it is, you know. I don't make a step or a move.
That's right.
Without the Lord, you know.
Yeah. I have to share something with the listeners. I think I have known you since we are at the old church, because Walter is my spiritual brother, guys. We go to the same church. And I've been doing this radio show since 2009. And I've always wanted a producer. I remember a wonderful woman that I interviewed from Maryland for the position. And she was excited about it. And I was excited about her excitement. And the Spirit says to me, do not make a final decision with her until tomorrow. So I said, I'm like you, Walter. I listen to what the Holy Spirit says. So I said, okay, Lord, I just left it alone. Well, first thing in the morning when I got up and turned my computer on, I got an email from her saying that her husband says, no way. She cannot do anything with me because I am too religious, he says. He don't want her in this environment. So I just left it alone, and I thought about it. I said, good heavens. there would be some people who would do anything to get their spouse in an environment that fosters God's word. And he's saying it is too much for, he doesn't want his wife in it. So I just left it alone. Occasionally I would say to my friend Michael, Michael, when you find somebody who you think will understand and support what I do, give them my number to call me. Let me talk to them about producing the show. Well, it's a little less than 3 weeks ago. I was sitting in front of my computer, and the Spirit said to me, ask Walter Misch to be the producer for the show. I didn't bat an eyelid. I think I sent you a Facebook message to call me or something. Yes. I followed through. And when I was saying, Walter, this does not pay any money, you said to me, I am not going to do it for money. And that just spoke volume to me, Walter, about you wanting to serve. And I just want the people to know that Walter only has the use of one arm. And I asked a friend of mine, Marilyn from Tennessee, to train Walter. And she trained him, I think, maybe for an hour or 2 hours or something. And the next day, Walter was on the show kicking. And the next day, he was on there again. It's not even 3 weeks yet. And Walter has it down pat. So I tell you, Walter, that I appreciate you so much for stepping up to the plate. And you had all the reasons to say, no, I can't do it. But instead, you are going above and beyond the call to make sure you do an effective job. And for that, I thank you. Thank you so much.
I was just going to say, Daphne, that when you mentioned that, you know, you couldn't pay me or anything, and of course I know that God is ahead of my finances, and and I know if I'm doing the right thing for God, and like with serving a fellow, a brother or sister in the Lord, and you know, I don't think for the pay now. I get my reward later.
Yes.
And I'm old enough now in my Christian walk to know that God comes through every single time, you know. And
every single time.
And, you know, it's like I've learned to really just be obedient to the word and live what I read, you know. And,
yes.
If God nudges me to go a certain way or spend money on some of that needs food or something, and, you know, I'll give it up, you know, and then, of course, the end of the month, you know, because I live on a monthly check, limited, that I'd always run out of money after 3 weeks, you know. But, you know, I used to get all excited. But, you know, month after month after month, I get to the end of the month, and everything I need is paid for, fulfilled. You know, I never go hungry and things like that. That the Lord blesses me over and over and over again. So it's... So the pay that I get is from above.
Yes.
And I keep my treasures in heaven, and that's where everything goes.
You know, today I was speaking with a friend of mine who now resides in Florida. She used to attend our church, and then she's moved to Florida. And we were talking about different things that's happening in our lives and with our family members and everything. And she said, you know something? People who I don't know whether they will ever meet you. I know they don't know you yet, but there is not a day when I sit with someone and I don't call your name. I said, huh? She says, yes, because she says, I don't know of anyone who has the faith that you have. She says, you have a faith that nothing rocks. And she says, I don't know how you do it, but she says, when I want to get encouragement for somebody, you are the person that I talk about. And people say that to me all the time, but I know the reason I have such a strong faith It's because I know to whom I belong. And it does not matter what obstacles or challenge I encounter. I know that God is faithful. And he is going to see me through. So I understand and I can affirm everything that you say, Walter. And know that it is true.
Mm-hmm.
I want to remind people to call in 646-915-8166. You are listening to my honored guest, Walter Mish, who is also the new producer of this amazing show, the A New Day Show. We are on twice a week. We are on Wednesday mornings, 10 a.m. to 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. And on Sundays, we are on at 7 p.m. through 8:30. So please, you are welcome to join the conversation. Let's hear about what are some of the things that has been happening to your life with the intention to slow you down, but you are still going ahead full force, full force. So, Walter, although you only have the use of one arm, you can't even drive again, but you still find time to serve. Why do you do that, and why do you see it as very, very important to do?
Well, before I answer that, Daphne, may I welcome all the people that I sent invitations out to listen to the show?
Yes,
and please. And if they aren't listening to the show, that I encourage them to call in and be part of it, ask any question or any comment, and I'm really grateful and thankful that they did come to listen to me.
Thank you, Walter. Yes, I told you all about my Walter, how good he is. He is the guest, but he's still not neglecting the people in the chat room. So we thank you for coming, and we encourage you to sign up to follow us on the show, mark it favorite, so that you will become part of our family here on the A New Day Show, and you will be kept informed of who our guests are. Yes, so go ahead, Walter.
So I started quickly learning. First, I had to get my priorities straight. And yeah, you know, I still get myself in the way, but, you know, the Lord is number one, the first thing in my life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, when you get to see all my email addresses and everything,
yes,
everything's W2 Mish.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is I wanted to put the number two is because I'm second to God, you know, in my life.
Yes.
And then after I started getting my priorities straight, one important thing that I learned from Pastor Frank Santoro is serving the Lord, you know, and it's
mm-hmm.
very important. And and also I got the thought of one of my favorite scriptures: those who waited upon the Lord, where he would renew their strength.
Yes.
You know, then it goes
yes.
on to put on wings like eagles and soar
mm.
high.
Yes.
And I started thinking, wait on the Lord. What about if I was a waiter? I'd be serving people, serving
waiting
the Lord. So,
on. Yes.
So I take that literally, but that mm. when Jesus said, when you do things to the least of my brethren, you're also doing it to me.
Me, that's right.
So, you know, right. when I went ahead and said, yes, Daphne, I'd love to learn how to produce, you know, and
mm-hmm.
and do it for you. And this wasn't because I'm doing it for Daphne.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing it because the Lord wants me to do it that way
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
be a part of your show. And, you know, so
mm-hmm.
that's one thing I started learning and serving. And being closely knit to leadership was important.
Mm-hmm.
That I had a, you know, first time that I ever knew about getting a mentor.
Mm-hmm.
in my life, or an accountability partner.
Mm-hmm.
So I did, and I did have a beautiful accountability partner.
Mm-hmm.
His name was Ed Taylor, and unfortunately, he's gone home to the
yes.
Lord, you know. And
yes,
was,
what a lovely man.
Yeah, well,
what
he was,
a lovely
yeah.
man, yes.
And,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So then the next thing I was learning that through Pastor Frank's sermons, and I used to sit in a church and all of a sudden, it felt like my toes were being stepped on. And it seemed like Pastor Frank was staring at me, and, and I kept feeling, I said, why is he looking at me? You know, I said, yeah,
so
he's
the other 2,000 people, too, the other 2,000 people sitting there felt the same way, right?
Yeah. Oh, yes. It was the Holy Spirit speaking to to Pastor Frank, saying, yeah, you listen to this, you know, and this is what I want you to learn. And, and one of the things was choices, the choices I make is, you know, I'm the one that chooses to be bad if I or do the wrong thing.
Yeah.
You know, and then
yes.
I started learning to take responsibility
for
the things that I was doing.
Right.
And, and you know, and then and learning to do that, I learned now when I face adversities, I look at it. I have the choice. Either I can sit back and not do nothing about it, and or I'm just going to take this and turn it around and use it for something good. And
that's right. That's
and
right.
And then when you start doing things like that, it really makes what, you know, Romans 8:28 means. You know, actually means is that for those who love the Lord, it's going to turn out, you know, things are going to turn out for the good. And
Always for the good.
And it has, you know, because... Because I've had the most unbelievable year. You wouldn't believe it. All started. I felt I was at the top of my health because I started doing a lot of studying on the computer on all my diseases, and and you wouldn't. I'd wait to the end to tell you my result of my self training. But you know, I started out. I got hit by a car while I was on my way to stroke support group. I was in the cross the lane, and a lady took a right-hand turn, and she clipped me, you know. And
wow.
I was in the seatbelt, but I slid down in the chair, but my leg, you know, the part that got hit was spun over the other one, so I hurt my, what do you call them, the flexors in your hip, and something wrong with my ankle, enough that it was, you know, then I ended up with a mild concussion, my shoe and my brace went flying off my foot.
Wow.
And the lady took off. But,
oh, my heavens.
But I got a partial plate, you know, and, like, I'm pretty quick with numbers and and letters, you know, because I associated with something.
Yes.
So it went up the, you know, the number, and the last three numbers said UNK, U-N-K. And, you know, I said, I'm an uncle of a lot of kids, you know. And So I had the plate number, even though she took off.
Right.
But then I looked to ask for help, you know, and somebody... Help me get back in the chair. He put the brace on. He put my sneaker back on.
My God.
I asked somebody, can you call the police for me? And everybody walked away.
Nobody wanted to call the
police. No one wanted to help. You know, one guy said, no, I can't get involved. And
my
you know,
God.
And it was a rude awakening that, maybe I should use a cell phone, you know, to get a cell phone.
Yes.
But because I lent out my cell phone to a friend that was sick, that you know, that he needed a phone, you know, so I gave it away to him.
Yes.
So I thought the only thing I can do is continue going to stroke support group, which was part of the my rehab I was going to for my stroke, and I met with a wonderful woman, Iris Gillian, who was a social worker for that ran the stroke support. So I got in there, you know, I usually have the gift of gab, if everybody knows, but I was particularly quiet that night, and she said, what happened?
Wow.
And I said, I got hit by a car, you know, and she jumped up. She goes, oh, are you okay? I said, no. I said, I'm hurting all over, you know.
Yes.
Because I even had a mild concussion. And
my God.
So
but
she
you're
said,
still
you mind if I go
away.
Down and talk to my boss, and, yeah, you know, we're going to call the police. And
thank God, yes.
Yeah. So that was the first of it, but ever since then, I ended up in and out of the hospital every month. Because right above where I got hit, I ended up with a clot, and it was literally running up my artery, going towards the heart. I believe that's where it goes when a piece breaks off. But
yes,
I went there. They found it. They, you know, cleared it up, and because it had broken off, and so that was good. But I ended up having a lot of falls because my ankle was literally weak because I think I hurt one of my tendons in there that they. They put an extra piece on my original brace to keep my foot from falling over.
Yes.
But one morning after I was went to the bathroom, I stepped over to wash my hands in the sink, and my foot, you know, gave way, you know. And, of course, every time that would happen, I shift all my weight to my right side, which is my good side, get it up, you know, so it's straight. But I lost my balance, and I fell into the bathtub. I was in the bathtub for like an hour and 20 minutes.
My God.
And my niece happened to come over because she works right around the corner, and she knocks on the door, "Uncle Walt, are you in there?" And I yell out, "Help," you know. It was like that commercial on TV, which was...
Yes, I've fallen and I can't get up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was. And I did have my lifeline button on.
Yes.
That I used, but when I fell, it went behind me, and I was like...
Wow,
my head
my
hit
God.
Up on the other side of the tub, you know, but...
Wow.
Then I had like my third concussion within 2 months.
So the angel is ready. The God's angel is looking after you, Walter. So when people hear you shout, you got all reason to be shouting and thanking God.
Yes. Then, well, you know, when I drove, because, you know, usually I don't sit back with my stroke. First thing at home, if it doesn't get done, I mean, if I don't do it, it doesn't get done.
Mm-hmm.
Which is hard to do because I spend a lot of time at home.
Mm-hmm.
Except for MPAC from Faith Church. They used to come over once a month on a Saturday morning and help me do the things that I couldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to thank them very much, you know, going on.
Yeah.
But I used to drive one-handed.
Wow.
You know, I had an automatic car. My hand went on the steering wheel, and I was doing okay until one day I had left a memorial service that was going on for Faith Church for a member that went on to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And I was coming back because I promised a guy where I lived to give him a ride.
Yeah.
And then I had only to turn around and go right back to work to serve in the children's ministry. And and then someone came out of a driveway and hit me broadside. I couldn't believe it, you know. And
wow.
I mean, I was in so much pain that I can't even remember having that much pain.
My
and
God.
What had happened was because my arm was extended like that, and when the impact came, it didn't just tear the rotator cuff; it tore out the whole rotator cuff.
Ooh, Lord.
I ended up, I had to have what is called reversal reconstruction of the shoulder, and it's everything is backwards on my shoulder now.
Wow!
I probably can throw it behind me. No, I'm kidding, but the shoulder where, you know, the arm which goes into the shoulder usually has a ball on it and the socket's on the shoulder side.
Mm-hmm.
But now when they repaired it and reconstructed it, the ball is on the shoulder side and it fits into a socket when my arm comes up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm learning because for a while, I guess for the whole summer almost, that I had very limited use with my right arm.
Mm-hmm.
And I already had no use in my left arm.
Mm.
And so it was hard, you know. Then when I had the surgery, the surgery went well, you know.
Yes.
Everything was good. It was a little sore, you know, and I was all happy. But then I got sick while I was in the Danbury Hospital.
Yes.
Not from the Danbury Hospital, but I had what is called C. diff, and it comes from if you take too much antibiotics close to one time.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, you know, January, February, March, and April of that year, I ended up going to the doctors because I was sick, like with a cold type thing or some type of sinus infection I had. And I had a lot of antibiotics. And what was happening, my white cell count elevated.
Mm-hmm.
And what it was the bad white cells were attacking the good white cells. And that's what happened. That's as much as I learned so far about C. diff.
Wow.
Except
wow.
I wouldn't even wish it on my worst enemy because
my God.
For 30 days I couldn't get out of bed. I couldn't keep nothing down. They had a tube going down my nose to my stomach, and I couldn't keep anything in. And it's as mild as I can put it, but that went on for 30 days. And in fact, I was so weak that I was saying, you know, just praying. I said, Lord, I said, I don't mind if I die, you know, because I want to be with you.
Wow.
But I said, this is not the way that I really pictured that I was going to go.
My
God. And I was being serious about that. And,
yes.
It gave me an opportunity to witness to a chaplain at the hospital,
mm-hmm.
because I'm an associate chaplain also,
mm-hmm.
but that that's something I learned to do, and he was just new on it, and you know, and I was laying there, and you know, he'd come in every day and pray with me, and
mm-hmm.
talk to scripture, and I started sharing my favorite scripture with him, and at
mm-hmm.
the same time, I was telling him, I said, I hope I'm out of the hospital, because
mm.
this year, on August 18th, was going to be my 40th spiritual birthday.
Wow.
And I was
wow.
excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm now I'm more excited about my spiritual birthday
mm-hmm.
than I am on my own birthday.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But,
that's
right. That's because I can tell people I'm younger.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just being funny. But, So I shared with him. He goes, you remember the day and everything that you
mm-hmm.
gave your life to the Lord? I said, yes, I do. And you know, I told him that. I said, it was a Friday night. And I told him it was 10:30, and by 10:37, I said, I was on my knees weeping and crying, repenting to the Lord, and I
wow.
gave my life to the Lord at that time.
Wow.
And I just remember it's like yesterday, so
my
I was reborn. I had lived a new
mm-hmm.
life then.
Mm-hmm.
2 Corinthians 5:17
mm-hmm.
started being a so true to me and so real to me, because therefore, if a man be in Christ, he's become
he's
a new creature.
New man, yes.
All things have passed away. Behold, he has become new.
Become new, right.
And that's what it was. I was finding myself,
mm-hmm.
things that I enjoyed doing, I didn't enjoy doing anymore.
That's right. That's right. That's
things
right.
wouldn't bother me. I was happy all the time. And it was something different, you know. And,
mm-hmm.
But, you know, because I remember my first couple of years as a newborn Christian, I was learning the scripture and... And when I talked to everybody, you know, I wanted to share how I was feeling with everybody. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, at the time it was the Jesus Freak era that, you know, everybody, you know, the movie, the play Jesus Christ Superstar was out.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah, yeah.
You know, the whole hippie scene out of California. And
mm-hmm.
But I had the attitude that everybody I wanted to talk to, I felt like I wanted to be the next Billy Graham, that they were down on their
wow.
knees.
Wow. Yeah, you know,
the Lord in their life, but the Lord really chastised me on that.
Right,
learning that, you know,
you have to let people do it in their own time, because a lot of times they're going to learn from you, especially people who know you. They know that there's something different and special about you.
Yeah.
A lot of people tend to, as you put it, chastise people who are not there yet. And I oftentimes tell people, remember, you weren't born saved. Because a lot of saved people tend to forget that, and they try to judge people. I want to
yeah.
fast forward to now. As you look over Walter's life, with diabetes and without diabetes, what are some valuable lessons that you have learned that you are still utilizing now and you would like to pass on to my listeners?
The most important thing is that I learned to really trust God. And just like in the song from Andre Crouch, Do It All,
mm-hmm.
you know, I learned to have more faith in God, you know, and I learned to have more faith in the Word of God, and that's important in your life, you know. It's like, yes, you could sit there, you could read the Bible, it could be maybe a couple scriptures one morning that you end up, like, you know, thinking about and all day long, or you can read a chapter at a time. But it's important to really dig into the Word and, you know, and read something, because that's the way God speaks to us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how He teaches us, you know, through His Word.
Mm-hmm.
And also is I started really living, fully living my life by the Word. So I just wasn't reading it. I was living it, you know. So if I told somebody that about something, which I never speak bad to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's always, I try to say the positive things and I try to keep going. But I'm like that little boy when, you know, I'm watching my father work, you know, and there's a hot element sitting there. And so my father said, whatever you do, don't touch that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you know, I sit there, you know, my father told me it was hot. I was happy. That means I had the knowledge of it being hot. But when my father wasn't looking, I'd reach out and touch that hot element. Now, not only did I have the knowledge that it was hot, but the experience that now I knew it was hot.
That's
and
right.
That experience that I got with the Lord,
mm-hmm.
you know, like in everything, you know, it's like,
yeah,
first thing I do,
experience.
You know,
yep.
yeah,
mm-hmm.
that I experience it. And things start, you know, like I tithe, you know, regularly. That's the first thing to come out, and you know, and I live mm-hmm. off what's left, and mm-hmm. and what's left, it ends up being more than what I actually paid in for the tithe to different
mm-hmm.
things like blessings and
yes
and all
yes.
that. Like I'll be sitting there saying, "Oh boy, what am I gonna make for dinner tonight?"
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I said, "Well, I open a can of soup or something," and
mm-hmm.
then a knock comes on the door and. Somebody just comes in and said, "I was thinking about you. The Lord sent me over with this meal. It'll be a nice, good home cooked dinner, you know." And,
wow.
and I say, "Wow, I couldn't believe it, you know." Or,
mm-hmm.
and then people that I didn't even know that go to different churches. That
mm-hmm.
it's the one thing I do want to remind everybody is that when you go to church at the building, that we as Christians and followers of Christ is we are the church.
We are the church. Everywhere
we're just,
you
we're
go.
We're just rejoicing together and learning and encouraging
fellowship,
one another.
Fellowship in the building,
yeah.
but the church
yeah.
goes with us.
So,
it's very important for people to understand because people misunderstand and confuse the building that they go for fellowship for the church. That's only a building. You are the church. So be careful of that example. That you are demonstrating out
yeah.
there. Very important point, Walter.
And one thing that I started doing is when a doctor tells me something, now I ask for a summary, and every doctor I have is part of the Danbury Hospital chain.
Mm-hmm.
So they all give you a summary of what's happening. And I'll go home, and I got these names on all my different ailments, and you know, and I look them up on a computer, and I study on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that I'm an expert on it, but I know enough, and I'm always
knowledge.
Learning.
That's right. That's right.
That the three things that are majorly wrong in my life, diabetes is the fault of it,
mm-hmm.
and the fault lies on me because I was making bad choices.
Mm-hmm. I know the responsibility.
Yeah.
are in your hands to make sure that you, I know you have more thought, but I think this is the appropriate time to play this song, Jesus is My Victory. And I know you like this singer here. Let me see if you know who this is.
For me, he is strong, and I am aware.
Who is that, Walter?
Is that Raquel?
Yeah. Oh, man. Ooh, you know Bleakley, your people. Raquel Bleakley.
I love when she sings, and that reminds me of a time. It's after I lost my job, and before I started getting a job at the Faith Church.
Yeah.
I used to do nursing home ministry with Mrs. Gilbert, and and one day, you know, I was really down and everything, you know, because I didn't know if I was going to get a job or anything.
Yeah.
And she sang a song from Karen Wheatley, is "He'll Do It Again." And I tell you, that touched me, and to this day, I remember that song.
Yeah.
In fact, it's on every single, you know, playlist that I put on the computer.
Mm-hmm.
It's got that song, you know, "He'll Do It Again." And then that's exactly what happens is no matter what's happening in my life, I'm fighting a Goliath or whether I'm in a den with lions or I'm in a furnace or oven or in a boat that's in a violent storm, he's going to do it again, you know.
And that's right. That's right. And we have to believe that, and we have to hold on. You know what they said?
Yes.
There's no test without a testimony. There's no testimony without a test.
Right.
And,
yes.
And we got to know, like we know our names, that it's going to be all right, regardless of what the circumstances or the situation surrounding us are. We got to know that it is going to be all right. Because if we don't know for that certainty, then, you know, we are giving up, and we cannot afford to give up hope. We must keep hope alive. We got to believe that. We have 21 minutes remaining, and I'm encouraging everybody to call in. The number is 646-915-8166. Do you have a question? Do you have a remark? A comment? What it is? Call in. Let us hear from you. 646-915-8166. I know, Walter, I look at your posts on Facebook, on everything like that, and you always have something encouraging to say to people. What are some of the feedbacks that you have gotten from some of your friends and followers on the social media platform?
I feel like a lot of times I always repost whatever gets sent to me, and I feel it's important, and so I share it with all my friends. I think I have close to 1,000 friends without, you know, exaggerating, but, you know, everybody, you know, they stay in contact with me. They were, you know, they respond to my things like my, you know, like if I find a picture or, you know, I'll save it to my computer, and then all of a sudden when something reminds me that I want to save people, I add to one of them pictures that fits with it. And I just like to be an encouragement, because one of the hardest things that I had to endure from the stroke was, well, I used to be left-handed, and I was in a left-handed world, and when I had my stroke, that's the side I lost use of, my dominant side. So I had to learn how to work for my right side, which is not easy, you know.
Flexible.
I couldn't even hold a fork and a spoon in my right hand, because I never held
you
one in my
before.
Right hand.
Wow.
Yeah, and little things like that, like, it's hard. So what I have to do is I have to look at something, look at what I do from the left side, and try to reverse it like in a mirror and do it from the right side. And that's not really too easy to do, you know, and I'm not saying. I'm learning different things, but
persistence is what carry you through. Your faith and your persistence that it can done. And if I don't get it done this minute, the next, I can always try it again. And that's an important lesson you teach us, because the things that we all take for granted, instead of being appreciative, we tend to take a lot of things for granted. And until someone gives us a gentle nudging, Nothing should be taken for granted. We should get up every day. We should give praise and thanksgiving every day. Above Ground Zero is a day for gratitude. A day for gratitude.
Yes.
And there are a lot of people who don't take the time to do that. And I'm not here judging you. I just want to remind people that it is important. Find something, because I tell you, we all have so much to give thanks for. There is an activity I do when I do retreats where people can write on one side all the great things and on the other side all the things that's not so great. And people always start as, oh, I don't have nothing to put on the other side. I said, just start jot one thing down. And when they are finished, it's very rarely they have three and four on the other side that they're supposed to put the bad things on. And then they realize, oh my heavens, I have been shortchanging myself all along by not giving gratitude for all my many blessings. All of my many blessings.
Yeah. That's because I lived through so many blessings that the first thing I do now is I thank God for a blessing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then I start looking for that blessing that's coming in that test. And I, you know, and one thing that I had the hardest thing to do was I used to always love to be the person that helps everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you need something done, you know, work done in your house, I used to be the first one to go, but yeah, I'll do it, I'll do it, you know. And I'll do it. Give me anything to do, I'll do it, you know. And then all of a sudden, I became not the one helping people, but the one that needs help.
He's been receiving help, you know.
Yeah, and
there's
and I started,
a saying.
Yep.
It's not the same people that you do good to comes back and do good to you, but the one short thing is that the seeds that you sow, you are going to be able to harvest from.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what part of the universe you are, so long as you plant seeds. So you don't plant, you continue planting. You don't need to be here when they grow. Plant them and other people would nourish them.
Yeah.
Because you are going to be reaping a bountiful harvest.
Yes. I could have sat back and really sit in the blues and all that and throw on my B.B. King albums. But, you know, I figured there's more to life than being blue and feeling sorry for yourself.
That's right.
And
that's
I'm going to be the first to admit that when anything goes wrong, I do. I go into a small pity party. Oh, woe is me. Why is this happening to me? You know, and I get upset. But, you know, and that's good, you know, because I got a thing. I just sit in a corner, you know, and I'm looking at the corner, and I'm crying my heart out to God, and that's when I'm the closest to Him.
Yes.
And so, you know, if something goes wrong, I'm right there. And like halfway through the thing, like it sounds like all the Psalms that David wrote when he started out crying.
Mm-hmm.
But before the Psalm would be over, he'd be praising the Lord. And that's what it is, you know. No matter what happens, it's praise the Lord, you know. If
that's right.
You
in
praise
spite
God
of,
when you're on top of the mountain. You praise
praise
God when you're in the valley. Yes.
Valley. And when you're on the plane, you dance and praise Him more. We have 14 minutes remaining, Walter. What I want to ask you to do is to now summarize our conversation. What do you want to leave the listeners with? If they don't remember anything that we talk about tonight, what do you want them to hold dear and close to their hearts?
The number one thing I want to give to everybody to leave to, you know, to keep close to their heart, and the biggest thing I learned is keeping God first in everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, and it's not the hardest thing to do. In fact, I enjoy myself, you know, like, every once in a while, like, I'll walk into a bar, you know, if I know somebody in there to talk to them about the Lord, you know, not to drink or anything, but, you know, spend time with somebody that, you know, I might be witnessing to, just to show them that I can be part of his life, you know, and but I don't need to sit down and drink and get drunk and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And he commented on that. He goes, You know, you're sitting there having just about the same amount of fun as I am, and you're drinking Diet Pepsi. He goes, what's in that Diet Pepsi? You know, and like, and I'm joking him. I said, no. I said, you know, I said, I have the Lord living in my life. So no matter what I'm doing, where I am, I'm going to have the joy of the Lord inside me. And that's one thing I like to listen to him. And it's very true what, you know, Paul says twice in Romans. And usually when you read something more than once in the Bible, it's something that's very important is, you know, take care of your temple. I mean, your bodies, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit, because he's living inside you now. And so, you know, yeah, you can give him a shanty building, you know, that's down by the rivers in the old time where hobos would live, or to a beautiful mansion for the Holy Spirit. And I choose to have a beautiful and healthy mansion for the Holy Spirit to live in. And one thing that's important is, no matter what you do, when you're serving God, it's, you know, you may think it's the lowest thing in the world, but to God it's the greatest thing, you know, and he'll bless you for it. Because one of the things that, you know, not being able to walk without a cane or writing or not being able to use my left side, I kept searching for, you know, what I do best. And I started helping in the children's ministry at Faith Church. And you wouldn't believe it how happy I am in there. I have more fun with the children, you know, because it's, I know they're being blessed from my teaching.
I try to
use the same formula that caught my attention hearing Pastor Frank Santora preach for the first time I heard him, and that, you know, he gives you illustrations of learning things which make things, the Word of God, more meaningful to you.
Comes alive.
In today's sermon, he said, yeah, Jesus always spoke in parables, and that's when he'd give them a story which they can relate to, and then show them how that story relates to God. And I have fun doing that with the children, you know, like taping my mouth up to illustrate. You know, they're not going to hear me at all, like when Daniel was in the lion's den. And I love to teach them to memorize the Word of God, because, you know, I love children. I love seeing children with happy faces, and I love to see them when their parents come to pick them up. And the first thing they do, and that's something I have them do, is I want them to recite the that night's Bible verse to them. So that's something I started doing, you know, and it's done in a fun way. We do it over and over again throughout the night, but by the time they leave that, those children know that Bible verse.
Beautiful.
And that's good. And so, like, you know, loving God, obeying God's word, and serving are the very important things. And then, you know, just like, you know, you reap what you sow. If you're going to reap, you know, a pity party, or sit there and saying, you know, or you're going to reap the good times, and, you know, throw it into the good soil, and then you're going to reap a good harvest out of it and be a part of your life. Like, I'm not going to mention any names, but I ended up going to the rehab that I spent three times in the last 2 years, and to visit somebody's mom that's in there. So whenever I go there, I go and visit everybody. And I'm showing them, like, they're looking at me, you know, and here I am. I'm walking upright. I'm not even using a cane. And I'm coming back and I'm visiting them just to show them. And I like to give that little spark of encouragement that, you know, they could be doing the same thing.
That's right.
But then I ran into a friend, and I went to knock on his door, and he said, don't bother him. He sleeps all day long.
Wow.
I go, what? And, yeah, because I remember when I had a stroke, I was in the hospital for a month. I was in rehab for a month, and they kicked me right out. I guess they wanted to get rid of me anyway, but, you know, but I was determined to learn, you know. I was to keep moving, but I'm noticing this guy is not doing the same thing. And
he has lost his hope, and he has given up.
So now it's 6 months that he's been in that nursing home, and they give him to 10 months to find a place to live, and he's...
Wow.
I mean, but, you know, that's... I'm not knocking him, but that's the attitude, the wrong attitude.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
To have of a thing that's an adversity. And I really want to stress this to my younger friend, all my friends, that, you know, when something happens, You know, don't sit there and say and let it overwhelm you. You get up and, you know, you tell them that I'm going to overwhelm you, you know, with.
That's right.
Because my God's going to get me through it, you know.
Amen.
And that's the attitude that I like to have every day. And okay. Yeah.
Wow, Walter. What?
Yes.
What? I know you have a lot of goals, but what, with the new year coming, what are two amazing things you would like to see God make happen in your life?
Well, through the thing that I was, well, because of the car accident, I spent a lot of time in a wheelchair, and I noticed that through this 6.5 years since I had the stroke, that when they gave me a cane, I started picking up bad habits, like shifting to my right and putting all my weight on the cane so I could lift up my left side.
Mm.
And but now that I'm walking, even though I put up a big fight with the physical therapist, I kept saying, no, I don't want to go back to using a cane. Then he said, just hold it for balance. And I said, I can't hold it for balance because I'm going to start using it again. And that's the number one rule the doctor told me was do not put any weight on that shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm walking upright. And I think if I go back and use a cane, you know, it'd be like taking a step backwards. So,
mm-hmm.
And Pastor Frank this morning made a very good illustration of it, why a rear view mirror is so small and the windshield is so big is that you don't need to be looking in the back window while you're driving because you pass
right.
in the past.
That's right.
Let it go and start going
forward.
On. It's a new day, you know. And that's what I want to go into 2013 is it's just to keep going. Yeah, I'm walking upright now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping I get more strength and more use out of the right arm.
Mm-hmm.
But Sue, it also is that I'm starting to use my left arm because I'm forcing to use it more because for the longest time I had no use of either arm. I couldn't even feed myself.
Mm-hmm.
I had to wait to, you know, for a CNA to come in and feed me
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. But and then, you know, and all my young friends, I remember when I first gave my life to the Lord. I was going in to be a senior in high school, and I just want to encourage them that, yeah, to live your life, you know, so people see what the Lord is doing in your life, and because, you know, your actions and people seeing you, that's when they're going to ask you why you're doing that, and then you can answer that, fulfill that scripture that says, be ready to give an answer for your faith. And that's what it is. Instead of you telling them, they're seeing it, you know, like it's, you know, being projected to them in a movie. So they're going to ask you, they say, why? Why is this happening? Why are you doing this? And then you could share what Christ is doing in your life and just keep doing and keep on walking upright and live for God, live by the Bible, and things just fall in place for you.
Wonderful. And who knows? I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead, Walter.
I was going to say, I regret that I was raised up in a non-church family, and I was a two-timer. They sent us off to church on Palm Sunday to get our palm, and Easter to get our flower, and I guess Christmas because they end up giving us a gift. But that's all it meant to me. And all my life, I knew there was a God. I knew there was a Jesus. I knew he hung on the cross. I thought the Romans killed him or some political thing. And but until the day that Jesus came down to my level and met me face to face. And I'm not saying literally. It's just that he made himself known to me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I just encourage all the listeners, all my friends that have not had a relationship with Jesus Christ where it's not a religion. It's a relation because when Jesus died on the cross and he rose again, he did one important thing that we lost in the Garden of Eden is our relationship with God. It was severed. It was separated. And
mm-hmm.
and God did everything. He sent people, prophets down to tell them to turn back. The Israelites spent 40 years in the wilderness and wandering around because they wouldn't listen to what God was saying to them.
Mm-hmm.
So I say, you know, for
obedience.
to dip the year 2013. Just get down on your knees and just ask God to make himself real to you.
Show yourself to me, Lord.
Guarantee you, you know, through my experience, he will. You know, it might be in a way that you don't understand, but that's because you need to quiet, you need to be still, and let to know that God, you know, that he's in control, and just look towards him and just live for him and live the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And like I promised, I wanted to sum everything up about my diseases, that diabetes, when you do not treat diabetes and you don't keep your blood level under control, and, you know, and the blood that's full of sugar, you know, carbohydrates that don't get absorbed into the cells to turn into energy, they turn instantly to fat that goes into your body. And that's what clogged my carotid arteries was. One side had a clot of fatty tissue, 45%, and the other side was 75% blockage. So I couldn't get the full thing of the brain. Because it all started, everything was, from day one, I did not take diabetes serious.
Right.
I did not, you
Education.
Know, turn it over to God, and I just did things on my own.
Right.
Which doesn't work.
So you got to obey the rules. You got to follow the instruction.
Yeah.
And an informed patient is a patient that will use their body to help to heal themselves, because our bodies have the power to heal itself, but we have to follow the instruction of the doctors as well. You know, utilize self-care and use along with what the doctors are telling us. And don't be going out there trying to do stuff on yourself. Well, Walter, I tell you, we only have a minute and 39 seconds remaining. I thank guest 65, 74, 92, 73 for hanging out with us. Guest 8, 829, guest 6038, guest 6574, and 8829. Who joined into the show tonight, to Mrs. Sylvia Browder. Thank you for calling in. And for Walter, I thank you so very much. And I look forward to us sharing the airwaves again on Wednesday. And remember, guys, you are created for a destiny, so don't let anybody stop you from that.
Yes. Very good, yep.
And the plan you have. grab it in your spirit and say this. Thank you for showing me and directing me. Hallelujah. To my destiny. I dare you to declare it. Tell the Lord thank you for showing me. Hallelujah. And directing me. Speak to it. My destiny. Come on, you declare it to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I speak purpose tonight. Hallelujah. You will open that business and direct it. Hallelujah. To my destiny. I know what I'm here for. Tell the Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. For every trial that came with his name. Hallelujah. For every struggle that came with his name. I'm mighty grateful. I said I'm mighty grateful. You feel it in your spirit. Almost see the breaking of day. It's destiny. That I know what I'm here for. Yeah. Oh, for showing me to the Lord tonight and directing me. Hallelujah. To my destiny. A strong God. You may not be able to touch it right now. Begin to thank him. Begin to praise him. Begin to thank him. Begin to praise him. Begin to thank him. Begin to praise him. Hallelujah. Can you see it? Can you feel it? Everybody, you're going into a new dimension tonight. You'll never ever see it again the same way. You'll never ever touch it again the same way. You've been called with a great call. It's a monumental call. You've been called to change nations and